following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone, and Happy New Year from Lambeau Field. It is a bye week for the second-seeded Green Bay Packers, but not for us. And not for you. Thank you for listening. I'm Jim Ozarski. Tom Silverstein is to my right here in Green Bay. And Tom, no rest for the weary, I guess. The Packers have been practicing Thursday and Friday. Friday outdoors as they get ready to, you know, work for a full week next week. So we'll start there. What did you make of the decision by the head coach to practice his guys, even if it's a short period amount of time on Thursday and Friday?
I thought it was pretty smart. I think when you're a healthy team, then it doesn't hurt to be out on the field working to strengthen, you know, fundamentals, keep the guys sharp. I don't really think, I think in previous years you saw Mike McCarthy give them the team a whole week, but they were so banged up that for the most part it benefited them to have that time off. I don't think this team needs it. And I think there's plenty. This is an opportunity for them to get ahead of the rest of the competition and work on some things they haven't worked on and see if they can sharpen some of their game, because some of their game isn't real sharp.
Right. And so before we get into that specifically, Brian Bulaga still looks like in the concussion protocol. Corey Linsley, back injury. Billy Turner, ankle injury. David Bakhtiari has been out with an illness. So they've done some of this with four of their five starting offensive linemen not available. Danny Vitale, knee injury. A couple guys working through some things. Preston Smith, undisclosed, has been off to the side as well. We would imagine they'll be back, maybe except for Linsley, on Monday, at least. You know, that would be their hope. But you mentioned things to work on. It was interesting, Tom, on Thursday, Matt LaFleur started our availability saying, going through concepts, we know who we are, what we do, okay, what hasn't worked, what did work. Aaron Rodgers added to that by basically saying, we've been trying to run concepts that haven't worked. Mm-hmm. and basically it sounded like the quarterback was saying, we need to give up on some things altogether now and just really winnow down the play. I don't know. Is that how you interpreted?
Sort of. I mean, what I took out of that, his press conference, was him taking offense to being asked what they need to sharpen up on. He said he was tired of answering that question. Well, I hope they're, for their sake, that they're answering that question inside their meeting rooms, because they aren't sharp offensively, and there's a lot of stuff they need to improve on. Maybe they simplifying what they do will help, but I don't know. I sort of feel like if they want to winnow down what works, good luck, because I don't know what works for them. They don't have one or two things that they do over and over again that work. So I think Matt LaFleur, this late in the season, is still looking for those things. I think they react week to week to what other teams are doing, and you know how other teams are going to play them. And I've said this before, there's not a ton of carryover from one week to the next. I guess. A lot will depend on who they play, how sophisticated they can get, what kind of defense they expect to get. You know, if they play Philadelphia, for instance, you know, they probably, you know, they might see more blitzing than they normally do. I don't know. Jim Schwartz, I don't think, blitzed a lot when they played them earlier this year. So I think it's really, they have to be flexible. They can't take too much out because they don't know what they're going to get.
Yeah, and that's it's interesting. Yeah, you're right. I don't think they have a tried and true staple. Maybe that sort of shovel pass, you know, hybrid jet sweep thing seems to work for them in the red zone. But you mentioned Philadelphia, Tom, and I guess that's the next step of this. You know, they are doing some work, some advanced work on the Saints, the Eagles, and Seattle. You know, obviously they won't see the Vikings, even if there's an upset there. You know, it's an interesting bracket in that way. I think on one hand, people feel Philadelphia is the matchup because the Eagles are banged up, and maybe because the Packers have seen them before. To me, Tom, that's the scariest. To me, of the three, that would be the scariest of the three because that means the Eagles would have won six straight, and that's just the team over the last 2 years that I think knows how to win anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They've already won in Lambeau Field this season. We've seen that game. I don't know. I guess we'll start there. Do you have a – when you look at the potential three teams, is there a good matchup considering that's how this Packers team has played? Like they're a matchup-based team for the most part.
Yeah, I guess I think they would rather – I think they are better off facing Seattle or Philadelphia than they are New Orleans. I think that's just better matchup. Those teams are more like them. They're more NFC North-type teams than what, you know, New Orleans is. I don't know that they want to face a really hot Saints team that can put up a lot of points. Especially since they don't put up a lot of points. I think a defensive battle against Philadelphia or Seattle is a better gives them better odds. I don't know. Philadelphia's so banged up.
I still think
they win, but you know, like the Packers, I don't know who they've beaten that's been really impressive. I think, you know, we'll see what happens with Seattle, but getting them a week after they've played and you've rested for 2 weeks, I think that's a good matchup. I think against either of those two teams is a decent matchup for the Packers. I think they can hold those teams to a limited amount of points, and then, you know, it'll be up to their offense to figure out a way to score. That's the way it is all the time for the Packers. But I think they want to avoid New Orleans at all costs. I think that's going to be a really tough matchup for them.
Which means Packers fans or perhaps the Packers are hoping the Vikings can pull an upset because that's the only way that happens.
Yeah.
Seattle, what's interesting there, Tom, to me, of the three, is the best matchup and is not necessarily had much to do with on the field. It would be because the Seahawks played a physical, emotional game at home, lose to San Francisco, have to fly across the country, play Philadelphia, and even if whatever that score is, even if they win, Philadelphia is going to hit them, and that's going to be physical. And then they got to fly back to Seattle for a few days, and then they got to fly to Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is going to cause problems, but I think in terms of the matchups, I think that would help Green Bay. But again, you know, hoping against hope that, you know, there's a Minneapolis miracle down in the Superdome. I mean, you know, everyone on this podcast knows how I feel about Kirk Cousins. I just, even with a healthy Dalvin Cook, I don't see the Saints losing that game.
Yeah, I don't either. They've had some letdowns. They lost Atlanta at home. They had that shootout with San Francisco at home that they lost. But yeah, I don't see it. I think Minnesota's lost. They've lost two straight, even though the last one they didn't play their starters. I kind of think they're petering out at the end. The offensive line got exposed against the Packers, and even with Dalvin Cook back, I just don't know if they can hang with New Orleans. I'd be very surprised if it's anybody but New Orleans at Lambeau Field.
In a week. And obviously, we'll, you know, whatever the opponent is, we'll break it all down specifically next week. But the thing that's interesting about New Orleans is obviously outdoors. We know the Lambeau turf has been very slick. And Michael Thomas is 29% of their offense. And I don't know, Tom. I'm not a big believer in a wide receiver carrying you through the postseason. And I think wide receivers can be taken away by smart defensive coordinators. And I know what I'm saying. I know that that hasn't happened yet, but I don't know. I think I might disagree with you a little bit on the Saints coming to Lambeau Field. But anyway, we can get into that.
Yeah, I think the Saints are not the traditional turf team that they've been. I think they have a really good offensive line, big, powerful guys up front. I think they have, they have a speed back that can hurt you. They also have, they have just a solid run game. And, you know, you can take Michael Thomas out of the game, but I don't know that you have a matchup with Jared Cook. They have, plenty of options. Drew Brees is so good. The cold's not going to affect him. I really think they're a tough out. I really do.
Yeah, it'll be we'll find out. You know, I guess that's the benefit Green Bay has of getting to this point. They get to sit and watch. They will have the weekend off. Matt LaFleur will not maybe they got to come into the facility for treatment or something like that, or maybe a meeting, but after Friday's practice, they're done. They're just off after Friday. Well, we're never done, Tom, and you know what's coming up this Thursday?
What's that?
Thursday's in January, Pottawatomie. You could play the Battle Win Ball Game Show to win $5,000 in cash, a.k.a. what Spoon carries around with him on a daily basis. To earn entries, just play your favorite games using your club card. Learn more at paysbig.com/winball. So I wanted to take the back half of this podcast here, Tom, to zoom out a little bit. And we don't have to spend a ton of time on this because we can save this for whenever the actual season truly ends. But a year ago this time, the Green Bay Packers were in the throes of their own coaching search. They settled on Matt LaFleur. And I'm not going to ask you to project years down the line or any of that stuff. But in 2019, when you look at what's happened with Adam Gase in New York, Todd Monken in Cleveland, I'll say it. Mark Murphy picked the right guy for 2019. This team was a bad team. I think Brian Gutekunst deserves a lot of credit, if not executive of the year type credit. But, I don't need a year-long recap, but it feels like a year ago we're wondering who they're going to go, what direction, who's what, and here they are 13-3 with a bye while, Browns are looking for another coach, and Mike McCarthy is still trying to look for a job. I don't know. It seems like at least all the right buttons were pushed by the Packers this time last year.
Well, I think what you said was accurate, that what they needed for 2019 was right on the money. I don't know what the rest of the tenure of Matt LaFleur will look like. I don't think any year will be as good as this was in terms of health and some of the breaks that they got. But, Matt LaFleur proved that he can handle a team and he can be a head coach. And I think that was really important. That was something they needed to find out. I do think tougher years are ahead, and I'm not saying that in terms of record. I'm talking about the job. The job is going to get tougher once you get known. Aaron Rodgers is getting older, and his skills are not going to get better. They're going to have to make a decision at some point in the next 5 years or 4 years, whether to keep going with Aaron Rodgers. They've got free agents coming up some key ones that they got to try to re-sign. They've got Matt LaFleur has to decide what direction his offense is going to go. Is he going to go traditionally to what he's knows and really believes in, or is he going to stay hybrid with Rodgers and be a team that does a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage? I think these are all questions that will make the job tougher in the second year. I think the job is a lot tougher for Sean McVay, in the third year after they went to the Super Bowl. And I think you see a lot of times with coaches will have some success, and then it gets really tough. Matt Nagy can attest to that. It's just kind of the way the NFL is. People are catching up with you, and you know you're the hottest thing in 2019, and then you're yesterday's news in 2020, and that's what Matt LaFleur will have against him, or will be up against in 2020, was how to stay fresh, how to stay ahead, how to be deal with being a little bit of a marked team. You know, a lot wasn't expected of them this year, and now, you know, next year they're going to be considered the favorites again. So a lot of things will be different next year, and I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, well, for sure, you know, but I think you're right. That was the question. It's funny how short a time 12 months can feel, but then how long it can feel. So much has happened since Matt LaFleur, his first press conference, what, almost a week from this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll agree with you. I mean, he was able to take control of this team. And you don't win 13 games and get a bye if you're not doing something right. And so just looking around the coaching landscape, you know, I'll give credit where it's due for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
In that way. Now, what's interesting is, you know, former Packers head coach Mike McCarthy is in the news. He did a media blitz to remind everyone he was still there. And it you know, what's interesting is now I wonder, Tom, if the Packers caught the end of the young guy cycle. And now it's sort of switching back. Washington went hard for Ron Rivera. There was no doubt. You know, McCarthy, I think, is going to get – I mean, as we record this, he hasn't signed anywhere. He's still interviewing in New York. But it feels like some of those teams are like, oh, maybe having the experienced guy is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, what I wanted to ask you about was, A, how did you take his sort of McCarthy project self-scout, and then also in Cleveland – current Packers director of personnel or co-director of player personnel, John Eric Sullivan, would be his sort of hand-picked GM to work with in Cleveland.
He might be.
Might be.
Yeah.
That's floated out there.
Yeah, I don't know what... you know, he would be... Any team that would hire him, he would stabilize that organization. They would win. I have no question in my mind that they would win. I think he's better off with a young quarterback. If he can get Daniel Jones or Baker Mayfield, I think he could do a lot for them. I think the key for his success is what kind of staff he's going to put together. If he's going to modernize his staff and bring in some younger guys with some knowledge that can enhance his offense. How much did he learn from the 2 years where they had losing records? If I were him, I wouldn't go to Cleveland. I just wouldn't do it. I just think it's a bad... I'd rather sit out another year than go to Cleveland. I feel the same way about Washington. If I were him, I wouldn't do that without certain protections. And I would never go to Washington. I just think that's a losing proposition. I think the Giants job is a great job. I'm not convinced about the GM, but you got a quarterback and a running back and a lot of draft picks, the third pick in the draft or whatever it is that the Giants have. Not the third, but they're up there. That's a great situation to me. Problem for McCarthy is that, you know, they're coming off a guy, Pat Shurmur, who personality-wise isn't that much different than McCarthy, and they're probably looking for something a little flashier than that. So I don't know what will happen there. But what I'm seeing in the NFL is that teams are not giving up on guys as fast. All of a sudden, you've got teams that are saying, okay, you know, this whole cycle of firing guys is not working. So Jacksonville is sticking with Doug Marrone. The Jets are sticking with Gase after 1 year. You know, there's a bunch of guys that I thought were going to be without jobs, and the field isn't that great. The field isn't that big, and teams are looking a little bit more for stability now. And that surprised me. That kind of I thought there would be more jobs open.
Yeah, you mentioned those two. I think Matt Patricia in Detroit, Dan Quinn in Atlanta, yeah. Somewhat
yep.
Mild those surprises, I think, yep. Quinn for sure. Now, the reason I wanted to touch on John Eric Sullivan briefly, Brian Gutekunst was named the general manager when Milt Hendrickson was hired this offseason. Goody has mentioned, well, when my guys sort of get GM, he basically said he wanted to add a bunch of talent so when his guys eventually move on. This is the first we've heard publicly one of the Packers front office guys be linked to a job. Is it about time? GM jobs are far and fewer between than even coaching jobs. How do you see that landscape, and at what point does Goody's staff become right for the pickings, or still too early for him in this group, 1-2 years, going into 3 years on the job?
Well, you never know what ownership knows and doesn't know. John Eric Sullivan has been part of the tree here from Thompson through Gutekunst and has a good reputation. I could see, him making that move up the ranks. I mean, the same way that Gutekunst came up. And anybody who comes out of Green Bay has a pretty good reputation. Elliott Wolf landed a good job in Cleveland, and although he's not going to be the GM there, they want to keep him in his current position. I think Gutekunst has done the right thing. I think adding Milt Hendrickson was a really smart move, because the more guys you have, the better job, better chance you have. And again, they're not going to probably lose people, or they're going to lose people, but they're going to have people in place to replace them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the Packers have at least their front office plucked at all here in this offseason. So as we head into the new year, into the new week, make sure that you spend your Thursdays in January at Pottawatomie for the battle for $5,000 in cash. Pottawatomie's Battle Win Ball Game Show. Earn entries by playing with your club card all month. Learn more at paysbig.com/winball. So we will speak to you all next week when we know the Packers' opponent in the divisional round next Sunday. Looking forward to that. As always, subscribe, jsonline.com, packersnews.com. For all of your Packers coverage. And for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you then.